In his last season, after 3 decades with the Madison Symphony Orchestra, Grammy and Tony Award-winning conductor John DeMain is out with a new memoir. Co-authored with the late music journalist Greg Hetmansberger, the memoir walks the reader through DeMain's musical journey and his road to Wisconsin. John DeMain is music director of the Madison Symphony Orchestra and principal conductor of the Madison Opera. His new book is called Working with My Heroes, A Life in Music. He talked to Rob Ferret yesterday.
I want to start in your early days reading about young John DeMain. It seemed very clear you were destined for a life in music. Could you tell us a little bit about your early days and your earliest love of performing and conducting music?
Well, you know, when I was 2, I discovered that I had a really good boy soprano, and I sang in the choir loft with the ladies' choir at the Italian church. And then when I was 6, I started taking piano lessons primarily to accompany myself because I love to sing so much. And by the time I was 9 years old, I played A Mall and a Night Visitors, the Giancarlo Menotti Christmas opera. And I played my own audition and sang the leading role. And in school, we didn't have a string program in the Catholic schools, but we had a band program. And the conductor was the conductor of the symphony and a very, very fine conductor. And he sort of took me under wing, and he was my mentor. His name was Michael Ficicelli. And even in 4th grade, when he couldn't make band practice, I would conduct the band. So I've been conducting since 4th grade, just on instinct. And all through high school, I was conducting at the community theater doing Broadway musicals. The first one I worked on was Paint Your Wagon, then Brigadoon, then Most Happy Fella, and shows like that, which gave me a lot of experience. Even though it was community theater, it gave me a head start. And people recognized my talent, so they gave me a chance to do all of this. So I was taking private piano lessons and practicing the piano and doing this conducting. And I was conducting a lot, and it was mostly on instinct without any real training except what I observed. And then when I got out of high school, well, at the end of my senior year in high school, I won this piano competition and made my debut with the Youngstown Symphony Orchestra playing the Beethoven First Piano Concerto. And I was so inspired by that I think it's what led me to make a decision to go on in music. I mean, I had so many interests. You know, I had a good grade point average. I was interested in medicine, political science. I mean, there were a lot of things that I thought I'd like to get into. And then finally, and I couldn't make up my mind. And in March of my senior year, I looked in the mirror and I said, what is it you do when you don't have to do anything? You're always making music of some kind or another. So maybe that's who you are and that's what you should do. So then I applied to Juilliard and I got accepted, and then everything happened after that.
We'll dig into some of those stories after Juilliard. Now, though, I want to hear the story behind this memoir. This is years in the making. You were encouraged by your wife, who passed away about 6 years ago. What is the story behind Working with My Heroes?
Well, I just had this sort of interesting career where one thing led to another, and I was all of a sudden working with these, at Houston Grand Opera, we suddenly had Hal Prince, who was the big Broadway director of the time. We suddenly were doing Stephen Sondheim's show, Sweeney Todd, and at Houston Grand Opera. We were when Philip Glass first came on the scene, all of a sudden I was conducting the American premiere of one of his operas, Akhenaten, to be specific. And so, and then when I did Porgy and Bess, and Leonard Bernstein came, then I worked with him on his first opera. And so, just one thing led to another, but I was just working with all these people. And when I was working in summer stock in the summers, earning my way through Juilliard, I was conducting people like Ethel Merman. And eventually I did the first major revival of Hello, Dolly for Carol Channing. And so just one thing just led into another. And I was working with all these people that I'd read about. And then all of a sudden I'm working with them. And it was fun. I mean, I realized that, when you're conducting opera and you're working in the theater, it's very much a collaborative situation, kind of a collaborative art form. So you're working with these people. And of course, you just, you know, try not to be in awe of them because of who they are, but you just go in there and you do the work. And of course, you find out when you work with these incredibly talented people that that's what they do. You know, whatever the publicity, the press, whatever you think about the egos, when you get into that room with them and you're working on a project, it's all about the work. And so that's why I came up with the title of Working with My Heroes.
I want to be Wisconsin selfish here and zoom in on your decision to come to the Madison Symphony Orchestra. You had had a successful career. You, as you said, worked with big names in Houston and elsewhere. When this opening showed up in Madison and you came, you auditioned, what appealed to you about that opportunity?
Well, I was frustrated because when I first got into conducting, one of my first jobs was with the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra, with the Norwalk Symphony. So I was doing orchestral conducting, but then I got this incredible opportunity in Houston. And Houston was a major company, which had a lot of publicity around it. And so I was doing, you know, I did John Adams' first opera, Nixon in China. I did Leonard Bernstein's first opera. So The Quiet Place and other pieces like that, the world premieres. And I got, you know, you get, in America, you get typed. He's an opera conductor. And because in America, we have separate organizations raising money to keep these various arts organizations alive, where in Europe, it's all under one umbrella. So you tend then to get pigeonholed. So I was the longer I was doing opera, the less I was getting the opportunity to do anything orchestral. And that frustrated me because I remember how much I loved my time with the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra and how much I loved orchestral music. So I really wanted to have a symphony orchestra, but you know, I was in my 40s and there was just no way I was going to get a major orchestra without having years of experience behind me in symphonic repertoire. The years of experience in opera was great, but it didn't equate over to symphonic repertoire. So I knew I would have to go to an orchestra that was not a major orchestra, but an orchestra that was professional. It was important to me. You know, it had to be a professional orchestra. And so when I, the agent that I had at the time, Scott George in New York, mentioned to me that the Madison Symphony was looking for a new music director and that it was in healthy shape financially, which of course was very important as well. And so I looked into it and I came up and I heard the orchestra play for the world premiere of the Frank Lloyd Wright opera.
Shining Brow, yep.
Shining Brow. And that made me feel like I could make a difference and I could bring something to the orchestra. I liked the community right away. And I had a 2-year-old daughter and I thought, why, what a great place for her to grow up. And that's, of course, exactly what happened. So I auditioned. I was very fortunate enough to get hired, and the rest is history for the last 32 years.
John DeMaine is with us, longtime music director of the Madison Symphony Orchestra, principal conductor of the Madison Opera. We're talking about his new memoir. It's called Working with My Heroes, A Life in Music. John, one of my big takeaways from the book is I would assume that these job titles are music jobs. And what I learned from your book is they are people jobs, whether that's dealing with the musicians, whether it's dealing with Leonard Bernstein and talking him down in some cases, outreach to the public. This is very much a job that involves negotiating and working with people. Tell us a little bit about how you approach that side of the job.
It's interesting. That's a very interesting question. You know, I think because growing up, you know, I mean, if you're in fourth grade and you're standing up in front of your colleagues and conducting them, you know, I mean, how do you do that and still be a peer, you know, friend? And the same thing in eighth grade, I was going up and playing for the high school. And in high school, I was putting on St. Patrick's Day shows because it was a Catholic high school. I mean, I put on 12 St. Patrick's Day extravaganzas over my lifetime. The bishop used to come. I used to stage them, choreograph them, play for them. And so I was like, and then, and we had never done a musical before. So senior year in high school, we did Oklahoma. And I played Curly, but I also was the music director. and musical director. And I put an orchestra in the pit, and I had our band director conduct the show. But the point is that I was like a faculty person. And at the same time, I was a colleague. You know, I was a classmate. And I had to learn how to talk and deal so that I could do those things. And I do think that there's no question there's lessons to be learned about how to deal with a major orchestra and how to, you know, how to say please and thank you and how to understand how their behavior is. And I think that when you're working with singers, for example, I mean, you have to invest them with love. And I noticed that, you know, somebody like Leonard Bernstein, who could part the Red Seas in New York, you know, when he would go anywhere, you know, I mean, he was just such a colossal personality. But when you worked with him in the room, he infused that room with love and enthusiasm. And because, I mean, first of all, that's how you get the best performance out of people, is to think that you love them rather than hate them. You know, it's more sincere than that. And it creates a wonderful working atmosphere. And also it's how you get results. So you have to learn how to deal with people. And, you know, I mean, as far as conductors are concerned, we know from the era of Toscanini that conductors were like dictators. I mean, they could be abusive and horrible, but we can't do that today. And if you want to have a career in this business, you can't be abusive. And I understand that, and I've learned that over the lifetime of my own career. But also, you know, I think if I've had any kind of success in Madison, it's because when we go to work, it's about the work. And we don't pick on personalities, or we don't, you know, play games like that. We just, you know, I celebrate my orchestra because every one of them could play their instrument better than I ever could. So, I mean, you know, you come into this room with all these great people from a point of respect, and then you get what you want, but you get it as, you know, with politeness and courtesy and firmness, but it's all coming from a point of respect. And when you work that way, you get it back.
You've got the memoir, you're wrapping up your career with the symphony. As you are reflecting now, what do you hope that your colleagues in the community remember the John Demain era at the Madison Symphony for?
Ooh, well, first of all, we've covered a lot of repertoire that the orchestra hadn't played before, and the orchestra also grew into this phenomenal virtuosic instrument that it is now. I mean, I just had rehearsal last night and was just blown away at how fast they can play the most difficult music and what they've become. And of course, it's during my lifetime that Overture Center for the Arts was built during my time here. And I know that I was one of the reasons why they decided to give us a first-class hall, because we didn't have one when I came. And we didn't really have a place to perform music that was acceptable. And so now we have one of the world's great centers for the arts. And so I'm so grateful to Pleasant and rest his soul, Jerry Fauci, for what they have done and are doing and continue to do for Madison. But I think, you know, what I wanted to do during my time here was to make people comfortable coming to a concert. You know, there are people who come to the concert who are so sophisticated in their knowledge of music and opinionated. And there's other people who just like to listen to it and don't really know much about what they're listening to. And for me, I wanted to make, it's like going to church and meeting the preacher afterwards, you know, and I wanted them to feel comfortable with me, comfortable with hearing music, and just, you know, and it was okay if you knew a lot about it, and it was okay if you didn't know a lot about it. Just come and listen and enjoy it. And I've enjoyed meeting the patrons and donors over these years, because this community is a community of a lot of achievers, as you know. I mean, there's people with incredible patents and, you know, Nobel Prizes, and, you know, just a tremendous amount of creativity and wealth and in the community. And so by our system of working with donors to collect, you know, money to perform and to raise funds and all of that, you get to meet all these people. In Europe, you don't. because it's all subsidized by the government. So you can live in an ivory tower, go to your concert, and go back into your ivory tower. But you can't do that in America. You have to have a relationship. And I think the relationships that I developed with our audience over the years has been particularly meaningful and wonderful. And of course, I love the musicians, and that's the most important thing. And the fact that they still laugh at my jokes after 32 years, it's sort of great for me.
John, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for sharing this with us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
That is John DeMain, music director of the Madison Symphony Orchestra and principal conductor of the Madison Opera. His new memoir is titled Working with My Heroes, A Life in Music. He spoke with Rob Ferret.